good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another Fireside Chat. And happy Valentine's Day. This is your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Jalayla Starr. Jalayla is a gifted channel, speaker, counselor, and teacher. She is the author of We Are the Nibiru, Book 1, The Mission Remembered, Book 2, and Bridge of Reunion. Jalayla's mission is to provide spiritually inspired, higher dimensional tools that will enable us to reawaken and return to our natural state as multidimensional beings. So, on this auspicious Valentine's Day filled with love, let's welcome Jalayla now. Hi, Jalayla. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Well, we could start in any one of a million different places, but I suppose a logical place would be to find out how you first came into contact with the Nibiruans and, you know, who they are and where they're from and so on and so forth.
Okay, well, how I first came into contact with the Nibiruans was they contacted me.
Uh-huh.
Back in 1993. I was a single mom, business entrepreneur, no interest at all in anything spiritual.
Wow.
Just, you know, making a name for myself in the local community as a, you know, up-and-coming entrepreneur, young entrepreneur. And one night I went to sleep and in my dreams, this being came to me and introduced himself and says, we have work to do. And I'm like, okay. At the time it was, you know, in the dream it's fine. But when you wake up, you go, what the heck happened?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It just totally changed my life completely. And then over the next several years, you know, I continued to work with that individual and had normal, daily sanity checks there for a while. And, you know, I ended up walking away from my company that I had for several years and went out and started counseling, you know, doing readings. And then, you know, I learned how to, at the time, they taught, I mean, I knew nothing about any of this stuff. And they,
wow.
So I was basically a blank slate, and they would wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning for training.
Wow.
Or 1 o'clock in the morning, and they taught me how to, what they called, travel the timelines, which I later learned, several years later, was called by, you know, the government, remote viewing.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they taught me about history. I saw history. I saw galactic history. And what I didn't know back then was that they were showing me events that happened in the past in our galaxy that would be played out on Earth and had been played out on Earth several times, trying to resolve them successfully, and that those were the events leading up to 2012, and that my work would be to help them do some timeline work to help alter or set in place blueprints or templates to provide humanity with an opportunity to alter certain events when they would come about so that we didn't end up destroying Earth.
And it would appear that we have actually altered the timelines, because so many have said that, you know, this was going to happen or that was going to happen, and none of those disasters have happened yet.
Exactly. And there are more on the books between now and 2012, but those have been already impacted. And then, of course, the more people who learn about them and can make compassionate choices, because the key is compassion, that helps minimize them even further.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, looking in hindsight, after my work was done with the Nibiruans, at least that work, to work on the grids and the timelines, I could see that we were basically trying to alter the future so that these events did not end up in the cataclysmic manner that they had in past times, because worlds had been destroyed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And like as of 2005... my job was done at the end of 2004. They said, okay, we have successfully altered or set in place opportunities to alter these timelines.
Huh.
You know, our job is done. But they said 2005, now that's it. That's a key year, because that's the year when we begin to, basically, we're writing a new script. And we need to set in place more things, more little templates in certain areas of the country that would alter the timelines of these past worlds, and there was four past worlds, because the last days of those worlds have yet to be played out on Earth. That will be played out between the years 2006 or 2005 and 2012.
Okay.
So I went around, and sure enough, you know, I'd just go, they'd say, okay, you'll know where to go because people will contact you and want to do a workshop, and then the people who have been involved in those past timelines will show up at your workshop.
Oh, my goodness.
And this happened over and over and over and over, since from the years 1996 when we actually launched the mission. I went through 3.5 years of training.
Wow.
Getting my butt kicked, basically.
Oh, no kidding.
A deep emotional clearing, you know, working on my stuff, and then they revealed who they were. They didn't reveal who they were originally.
Huh.
So we did more template work, and then I guess that was finished at the end of 2005, and now I've watched the certain events that were supposed to have happened. They've happened, but they've been extremely minor.
Oh.
Like the breakup of the tectonic plates in the Pacific Northwest.
Uh-huh.
Right after we got done doing our work in 2005 up there, they did have the earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
They had, like, I don't know how many, 40 in a matter of a few days.
Oh, my gosh.
But they created virtually no damage. Now, on the timeline, originally, that area would have been broken up.
Well, yes, so many people have been given various maps and drawn them out.
Exactly, because that was the original timeline.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. And so in my books, I explain the history and what those events were tied to in our galactic past, because when those worlds were destroyed, their timelines had to be woven into an existing planet's timeline so the souls could continue to evolve.
Right.
And they've all been woven into Earth's timeline. So all their little events are replaying out.
So does that include the Atlantean and Lemurian and all of these battles that have been going on?
Yeah, those were just repeats of the timeline, trying to resolve them, and they didn't resolve well.
Well, it doesn't appear that this one is turning out too great either.
Well, you know, actually, it's turning out much better.
Is it?
Oh yeah, you're still going to have some upheaval,
yeah.
But it is not cataclysmic. We haven't had any part of the United States broken off and sunk into the ocean.
Well, that's true, and I'm on one of those faults. I'm on the San Andreas Fault. I'm in the Northern California area, just on the border that's supposed to be dropping off into the ocean.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not worried about that.
Oh, yeah, I'm not either.
Not anymore. I mean, there was a time, but we passed that timeline point.
That was what I was sensing.
Yeah. I mean, there's still... you know, an inundation of the Southern California coast, but the more people work on that timeline event, they drop it. They drop that tidal wave, you know, by 50 feet. And,
what about the
war with China, huh?
What about the idea that the government has meddled with various timelines with some renegade ETs, Greys, reptilians, and so on, and that they've been messing up having... looked into the future, and they're trying to fix it.
They can't fix it because nobody can see past 2012.
That's right. That's right.
They hit a wall at 2012.
That's absolutely right. And psychics and no one can see beyond 2012.
Right. And the thing is that they can try to tamper with the timeline, but these timelines are ancient.
Ah.
They go back way into our galactic past.
Uh-huh.
And so they, you know, they don't even know how far back to go.
Wow.
To do that much tampering.
Wow. Well, so now we're reaching another culmination point, right, which people refer to as the ascension process?
Well, yeah. Yeah, this is the end of another great galactic, it's not just another end of another 26,000 year period, procession of the equinoxes. but it's a also the end of a cycles within cycles, and it's a grand galactic cycle, which means it all comes around about every 204,000 years.
Uh-huh.
So this is a time when you could actually complete a universe.
Wow.
That's how important it is. And Earth is like the, you know, it's like the stage that everybody's, you know, sitting out there watching, because this is where the main events are being played out, because the timelines of so many races are tied into Earth.
Uh-huh.
So we're playing out their past and their future.
Well, that would make sense for all the various problems and wars and fights and things that are going on all over the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
Except that we also have the idea that the elite, you know, whether you call them Illuminati or whatever, lower fourth dimensional entities, negative polarity, are pulling all the strings and trying to take over and control humanity.
Yeah, and, even that, they have their roots in the ancient past of Sirius B.
Huh.
And when you see the bigger picture, you understand where you get to when you see the bigger picture. And I was fortunate enough for them to train me as a, what I guess you could call it, a galactic historian.
Uh-huh.
When you're able to step back far enough, listen to that, far enough, you can tell I'm from the South.
I lived in Missouri myself.
And when you step back far enough,
uh-huh,
you are able to see both sides. And you realize why they're doing what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
And then it changes your perspective, and you realize there are no winners and no losers in this game.
Huh. Well, okay, now, during the ascension process, isn't that the time when the timelines separate and everybody has an opportunity to make a choice as to,
yes,
where they're going to ascend to or go to?
Yeah, it's like a staircase.
So is that... Do we each have a unique path, or is humanity as a whole going to have an opportunity to ascend?
Well, that's a good question. Humanity as a whole has a divine destiny.
Uh-huh.
But within that whole divine destiny, we all have our individual destinies.
Right.
And so you still have a choice where you want to end up. But the thing is that humanity's goal, or its the destiny, is to become a seed race,
mm-hmm,
for
mm-hmm,
the galaxy of a people who can live in harmony with diversity.
Yes, yeah.
So it's not just about all, we're all one, and because there's a, you know, there's a dark side to the light and a light side to the dark.
Oh yes,
and
no
the dark side of the whole we are one thing is that everybody has to go along with the status quo, and you can't have an individual thought.
Right, right.
That doesn't go along with the status quo, so you end up giving up individuality.
Right.
In order to maintain security and peace. That's the dark side of that whole unity consciousness. What we want to create is a blend of the two, where you can have oneness. We all understand that we are connected, but we also have the ability to have individual ideas and thoughts and be able to work out our differences, but without ending up in a war.
Right, right. It does seem that the war is a plague that has gone on for millions and millions of years.
Yeah, and war is basically the result of losing our understanding of our own divinity.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose sight of the God that you are, and you begin to look outside yourself for a God, then you easily end up in a war, because you know, look how many wars are started over religion.
Oh my gosh!
The majority.
Yeah.
And
yep,
it's because they're looking. They're fighting for their version of God.
Right, right.
Because that's how they get their security. If everybody believes in my God, then I'm safe.
Yeah, yeah.
But the reality is we carry God within us.
Yeah, that's right.
So when we stopped believing that we carried God within us, as we were taught by a church, by our churches,
mm-hmm,
and believed that the God lived outside of us,
yeah,
then we started fighting because we knew that our security was threatened if everybody else didn't also agree that God was the only God outside of us.
Well, that's right, and then plus you have all the ego games and, you know, mm-hmm, having to be right about everything, and then you've got the whole idea of good and evil and duality and polarity stuff that's going on.
Yeah, you know, and from a higher perspective, that's all just a game of soul evolution. You
yeah.
know, you have to have a game to play, and you got to have a challenge. So, you know, duality is the challenge to understand that, not to be controlled by it, but to realize it is a tool.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. This is 2009. Where are we at in the ascension process? Because I know a lot of people, especially in my group and so on, talk about this quite a bit.
Where do I see that we are?
Yeah. I mean, are the energies actually shifting into a higher level that we can experience as, you know, for ourselves?
Well, I believe that we have had a major shift since the election of the U.S. president.
Yeah.
Not so much because of he himself, but because of what he represents.
Mm-hmm.
And what he represented and what he brought about was the healing of a very old, old wound
mm-hmm.
between the blacks and the whites.
Mm-hmm.
And that wound was so massive.
Oh, yeah.
And so deep that the healing of it itself caused a shift.
Yes, yes.
I mean, a major shift. And it didn't just affect blacks in America. It affected all racial issues around the world.
And, of course, that could be a metaphor for other races, reptilians and grays
yes.
and
he Orion. Represented integration. It was a step on the path to integration of the light and the dark.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that healing was like a huge move forward, because when you integrate, you heal. You
mm-hmm.
heal all
mm-hmm.
the rifts. And so that was a huge, huge one. And that right there caused the higher dimensional timelines to separate more so from the 3D one.
Oh.
And so you're going to see more of that division manifest in our reality as a super increase in alternative fuels and new healing modalities and, you know, a whole move toward greener community and, you know, all the things that you would want to see in a more balanced society that does not become parasitic to its planet.
Right.
So you're going to see a huge jump in that area, which that's a manifestation of this wound being healed.
Ah.
And then the blacks really feeling empowered enough to step up to the plate and within their own communities, you know, when a man feels good about himself, he isn't going to turn to things that he would normally turn to.
Mm-hmm.
And he will stay home and he will raise his children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you won't have so many children being raised by single parents. The healing is going to manifest itself in the family dynamic, in the community dynamic, and in the national dynamic.
Well, it seems like
watch. The next 3 years are going to be pretty amazing.
I hope so. Well, you know, there's a lot of suppressed technology that's been around for 60 years or longer, and that's all just been, you know, we've been sitting kind of like in covered wagons for 60 years here when there's technology, I've heard, for free energy and so on and so forth that's being held back.
Yeah, I think you're going to see some of that start to come forth, and the reason why is because just as these higher dimensional timelines or grids are really starting to manifest now.
Uh-huh.
The 3D, on the other hand, is going to manifest the opposite. It's going to start to decay and fall apart.
Oh.
Which will bring about the absolute requirement of these new technologies being manifested as a solution.
Wow.
So you're already seeing, like the Mayan calendar states, you know, this is the time. 3,000 years ago, the Mayans predicted that 2008 would be the year that the systems start to fail.
Yes.
And what happened in 2008, our financial system.
Yes, and we were in the fifth of the night, I think it was.
Yes, where
amazing.
Our financial system failed. There's four that have to go down.
Okay, which one?
Okay, I can only remember three of them.
Oh, okay.
The first one is financial.
Right.
The second one is industrial.
Okay.
The next one is political. Oh,
okay.
I remembered all of them. And then religion.
Oh, yeah. They've all got to be brought down.
Right. So financial went down in 2008, and industrial went down in 2008. The next one that's going to go down is political, and then finally religious.
Oh, good.
Now, I don't know when the last two are supposed to go. I'm not real up on the Mayan calendar. They may be that those two fail in 2009, but it could be they fail between 2009 and 2011. I'm not real sure.
Yeah.
Somebody out there who's a Mayan calendar buff and has read Ian Lundgold's information can send you a little text message.
Right.
Yeah, so this is a time that the systems fail. And when they fail, that then brings about the need for a solution. And that's when these new technologies will step in and be funded, because the solution has to be different.
Oh yeah.
You know, than what failed. So our dependency on fossil fuels will quickly change in the next 3 years as these new technologies come on board.
Well, I guess, you know, I get a little bit impatient because it seems like everything is happening so slowly. You know, it's like I can see what needs to happen, and I've been seeing this for some time now, and I think as people awaken, they're just getting tired of watching the same old stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when is it all going to collapse and fall apart so it can be reborn on a higher level?
Well, it's going to happen very quickly now in the next 3 years. I mean, you're going to see a complete change in the next three years. And I'm not going to say that by 2012 everything's going to be perfect.
Right.
I'm going to say is by 2012 all the old systems will have collapsed.
Right.
Which will make way. It's like when you take down a building, you don't erect the new building overnight, but you start to build it.
Well, they haven't rebuilt the Twin Towers yet.
Well, hopefully they'll get the. But in the first years after 2012, I think you're going to see amazing. Our whole reality, the whole landscape of our reality, is going to completely shift.
Well, you know, I never thought I'd live this long. I'm 59 now, so I'm just hoping I can make it to 2012. The rest, I'll all be frosting on the cake.
Yeah, there you go. It's you know, as frightening as it is, it's also, you know, people lined up to come to Earth to be a part of this.
This is
so phenomenal. This is the end of a grand galactic cycle.
Well,
could you have the chance to complete a universe?
Yes, and you know, I have to be reminded of this constantly because, you know, in my own processes, I notice an increasing pull away from 3D, and yet I don't feel connected to anything higher to replace it. Mm-hmm. And I it's like being in limbo.
Right.
You know, so that's why one of the reasons why it's such a delight to talk to people like you who have a line on the inside track, because I need to be reminded constantly that this is what's happening. And intuitively, the truth makes sense to us. We understand it instantly.
Yeah. What I've learned is that this is a time when we have to have a foot anchored in both worlds.
It's
a time when you must walk between the worlds, because you can't affect the kind of change you want to affect if you are not grounded in a reality.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't change something from outside of it. You've got to be within it.
That's right.
And that's one of the things that I struggled with for years during my training when I started to learn about all this higher dimensional stuff and this galactic stuff, was how do I function in 3D and carry on a life and be a mom and cook dinner and, you know, change diapers and pick up babies at daycare and deal with employees and clients, and how do I do that and still at the same time know that at 3:00 in the morning I'm going to go out there and I'm going to travel the timeline and I'm going to open up a timeline event and see what happened in the past.
Wow.
And or into the future or wherever they sent me.
Wow.
And then go back to get up in the morning and go back to work and act like, okay, that's there and this is here.
Oh my God.
It was a very challenging few years until I learned how to balance those two realities and be able to stay as grounded as I needed to be in this reality. And not fly off into the ethers, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it was a struggle, but it can be done.
Well, my hat's off to you, let me tell you.
Well, thank you.
So there must be a lot of people that are working in corporations and in politics and in various high positions who find themselves awakening to these other realities.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of like a way shower, and you're paving the way, like, you know, to show us, well, this is exactly what's happening. And we are experiencing it, and it's a very real process.
That's why I wrote my second book, The Mission Remembered. I wrote the first book at the beginning of the mission.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, I didn't know much of anything. You know, I had the bare bones of the whole galactic history. And I didn't know, I just knew the bare bones.
Right.
And I knew about the DNA work that the Nibiruans wanted to share with humanity, because they were the ones who unplugged 10 of our DNA strands. And so that's really what that was like. Hey, you know, we're your parent race. We're back. Here's the deal. But then 10 years later, or 12 years later, after the mission was over, and I could look back in hindsight, they said, write this book for several reasons. Number one, to detail the mission. Number two, to show people how to do this, how to live this, how to live in two worlds at one time, and complete a mission and still function in 3D and carry on with a family and friends and keep themselves grounded, because they have to do that.
Wow.
They have to do that. So that's why I wrote, and of course, tell them about 2012. So that's why I wrote that second book.
And that's called?
The Mission Remembered.
Well, I haven't read it yet. I apologize, but I am sold.
Cool.
I'm going to order it.
It's an intense read.
Tonight. That's wonderful, because, you know, we all have to walk these various worlds, and going to the grocery store, doing what we do, it's not easy. You know, carrying around an awareness and knowing things, it's almost like a burden sometimes.
It you know, I used to feel the same way too. And then they said, you know, one day you're going to get to the point where you can walk in both worlds, and then you're going to have fun with it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to enjoy being in 3D. You're going to enjoy the good things that 3D has to offer.
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, you'll know how to go out there and tap into other grids and find out information and
wow.
talk to different beings and have both of it, both
wow.
of them. And finally, I mean, I used to think that they were just pie in the sky, but it is possible, absolutely.
Wow. Well, now, is our DNA, I've heard a lot about our DNA shifting and that we're moving to 12 strands and all that. What is your view on all of that?
Well, I think, you know, the DNA has to morph.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, as they said, you can either take the fast track and do it consciously, or you can take the slow track and do it unconsciously.
Okay.
And the majority of people are doing the slow track.
Right.
Doing it unconsciously, and yet, you know, look at them. They're just, you know, rigid with fear.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because the systems collapse, and as the systems collapse, that's causing them to bring up all the fears that they haven't dealt with.
Exactly.
And so they're having to go through it.
Yeah.
In a slow but somewhat unconscious manner.
And
I took the fast track.
Well, I did too. I mean, I stuffed it all in a few years, and it was, you know, went through a lot of processing, and not that there isn't still stuff to, you know, come up and release.
Well, listen,
but,
hey, that's your fuel for ascension. You got to have
exactly.
something to change.
And believe me, I hit the depths.
And I'm like, man, I got to have enough. That I said, well, will I have enough anger, shame, guilt, blame, resentment, remorse to carry me through ascension? They go, oh, hon, don't worry about that one.
I love it.
If that was money, you'd be rolling in it.
That's great. You know, it's funny that all these things that we can't stand about ourselves and our emotions and so on and so forth turn out to be our greatest assets.
Oh, yeah. You got to have some to transmute into compassion.
That's right. And I wanted you to share a little bit about compassion and how important it is.
Well, let me give you a little history lesson, okay?
Okay.
This will make more sense. Back in 3400 B.C., about the time of the Tower of Babel,
uh-huh.
the Nibiruans decided it's time to disconnect 10 of the 12 strands. And they said, well, and the reason why is because mankind was creating a launching pad to launch their own rocket into space to go to heaven. Well, in ancient times, heaven was known as Nibiru.
Okay.
And God was the gods, which were the Nibiruans, because they were the ones who ruled the city-states. And all the people lived within the city-states, and they were, you know, they worshipped one of the the gods, that which was like their mom or like their big mom or dad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Enlil, who was the ruler of Earth at the time, son
mm-hmm.
of Anu, who was the ruler of Nibiru, found out that they were creating a tower to launch their own rocket ship.
Mm-hmm.
There's more to this story than I can possibly get into right now. And they were doing it because Marduk, who was the grandson of Anu, who is your biblical Satan, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Was putting them up to it because he had been banned from ever going home
mm-hmm.
because he ended up interbreeding with the humans, and that was a no-no.
Yeah.
So he was banned from home. So he said, well, come on, we'll go build our own rocket ship. Well, you know, he had Babylon. That was his city-state. And so they built it, in, you know, near his city-state. And Enlil says, this is never going to work. And he said, the humans are too advanced technologically because of their 12 strands, because they're part Nibiruan. And so we're going to disconnect 10 of them so that their spirituality, because they were like babes in the woods, they were young, would catch up with their technological ability so that they would survive. And they'll never survive. They'll never reach spiritual adulthood before they're destroyed.
Huh.
Because other races were coming to Earth, and they were tampering with humans in different places.
Oh.
And, you know, and saying, hey, you know, help us fight our wars, or help us do this, or help us do that. And, you know, we humans, whenever there was somebody who'd come down a rocket ship, we'd just fall on our knees and worship them.
Yep.
We wouldn't think twice. And so they go, oh, this is never going to work. They don't have a clue. They're like two-year-olds walking out into the street, you know, in busy traffic. So they need to learn discernment. They need to grow up. They need to mature. So we're going to disconnect 10 of the 12 strands and scatter them. But we're not just going to do that. We're going to encrypt them so that they cannot be recompiled by any other species. Until the time when they have reached a certain level of maturity, and at that point, we will give them back the key to decrypt their DNA and recompile it. Now, what they gave us was an endocrine system, and within that endocrine system was this one little gland called the thymus.
Uh-huh.
You know, the one that medical science doesn't quite know what to do with.
Right.
It has a multidimensional role, function.
Wow.
And that function is that when it is activated, it will transmute anger, shame, guilt, blame, resentment, remorse, bitterness, any lower chakra energy into a frequency that changes DNA from carbon to crystalline.
Oh, my.
That frequency is the one that quantum science has now discovered to be compassion.
Wow.
Because compassion, not the term that you learn in the dictionary,
uh-huh.
which talks about just basically being mercy. No. At the higher level, compassion is the ability to see the value in all things.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So there's no judgment.
Yep.
No, this is right, that's wrong. There
yep.
is no polarity at
yep.
that level. There is no good and evil. It's just, this is all aspects of creation, and it all has purpose, and it all has value.
Yeah. Yep.
At that point, because you have no polarity, it's a neutral zone.
Huh.
So you take anger, which is a polarized feeling, and you go through this process where you can achieve compassion, you neutralize that, and it goes back to its raw form. It just nullifies it, puts it right back in the void.
Wow.
That's the power of compassion. It's the highest frequency in the universe because it's the only one that nullifies polarity. See, love is wonderful, but it does not nullify polarity. It is a polarity.
Right, right. And it's not inclusive. Well, it's kind of inclusive, but it's kind of rejecting the dark aspect as well.
Exactly. It says if there's love, there's no hate.
Right. And
okay, and compassion says there's both.
Right.
There's a value in both.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely right. That makes so much sense.
So you have a gland that actually can produce the frequency of compassion. It's the only gland in the body that can, and we're the only animal that can produce this. But when you produce it, it realigns it realigns the 12 strands at the crown chakra. And this will start etherically because we couldn't hold it in a DNA in a carbon-based body, blow it right out of our body.
Right.
But at the crown of your head, you have 12 crystals, and these crystals are like long. I think it's called stalactites.
Mm-hmm.
With their points embedded in the hypothalamus.
Mm.
And they're like little plugs, and each DNA strand plugs into one of these crystals.
Huh.
And that's called a reconnection. You plug them back in. Right now you got two plugged in, so you start plugging in the others. And then activation, which is the third part of the process, you have realignment, reconnection, and activation, which we call DNA recoding. It that's turning on the juice, basically.
Huh.
And the cool thing is you don't have to have an entire strand reconnected or realigned for it to function as a full strand because it's holographic.
Wow.
So you can have one little speck of DNA realigned at the crown, and it will function like a full strand.
Jeepers.
Yeah. It's cool, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Yeah. So the Nibiruans, see, they knew this. That's how they designed us.
So is it partially the result of our own efforts to achieve this compassionate state, or?
Yeah, I mean, we had to earn it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like you can give a kid. We had to earn it just like a child needs to learn how to drive a car and be responsible before he's given the keys.
Right, right.
Well, you know, in a family that's functional.
And what we're seeing in playing out in humanity is just the different choices that the souls have made to awaken at various points in time.
Right.
Huh. Well, now, so is this all supposed to be timed to 2012 or and beyond?
What?
I mean, are we, it would appear that things are going to fall apart increasingly rapidly.
Yeah. The systems should all be destroyed by 2012. They should all have collapsed, but new solutions be coming in, just flooding in to replace them.
Right.
So it's
right.
A time of great transition from the old to the new.
Well, there are quite a few that have incarnated from various realms and other planets, and you've got the indigos and all the starseed and walk-ins and so on.
Mm-hmm.
There must be quite a bit of influence from all of those people.
Oh, absolutely. They're bringing in the new technologies
mm-hmm.
and the new forms of government.
Oh, good. Thank God. We could sure use it. Now, is Nibiru what some people are referring to as Planet X?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense then. Now, do the Anunnaki fall into some slot there?
Anunnaki is the ancient Sumerian word for the people who came down in rocket ships.
Ah.
They are the Nibiruans, but they are also, what people don't realize is that there are also other races who have come here at different times who also came down here in rocket ships.
Right, right.
So Anunnaki could, if you're very objective about it, could be applied to any species that has visited Earth at any time in its history.
Okay, and then we've been visited quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
Yes, from the very beginning.
Yeah, I mean, Lemuria was settled by Syrians and Orion renegades.
Wow. Well, you know, people are going to have, as they awaken, they're going to have such a hard time coming to grips with all this information.
It makes sense
to me. I've been studying it for a long time, but maybe it will be easier than I think.
Well, you know, I think you're right about that, simply because the consciousness is so changed. Like 30 years ago, you would rarely ever see aliens portrayed anywhere, and now look, they're everywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like we're beginning to accept that we're not the only people in the universe.
Yeah,
that's now gone from being the, how could you think any different to, you know, how could you even believe that anymore?
Exactly,
So, and the kids coming in these days, they know this intuitively. You don't have to prove anything. They're not the ones that are going to show up at UFO conventions. They're like, what for? We already know that they exist.
Right, right.
You
right,
know?
Absolutely.
So the consciousness is changing so rapidly that you know, it's going to be a lot easier than we think. And these kids that are going to be the leaders of tomorrow, I mean, they're like, they totally get it. You know, they grew up on computers from the age of three.
And
they understand multiple realities. They understand timelines. They understand virtual realities. So it's going to be a lot easier for them.
Well, now,
old folk that have the challenge.
When it seems like it's almost going to be like a, you know, there'll be a 100th monkey moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when everything kind of just tilts in that direction and it's just boom, you know, it's going to be a very rapid transformation.
Oh, yeah, I'd say by 2020,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see huge change in our on our planet. I mean, because a lot of the people who are in their, you know, 70s and on are going to be gone by then.
Right, right.
They're checking out because they're not here for that.
Right.
You know, and then you're going to be left with, you know, our generation. I'm 52. Our generation will be the oldest generation.
The baby boomers, right?
The baby boomers will be the old great grandparents.
Wow.
And the new kids, they're going to take to this stuff like ducks to a water.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that. I really do. one thing that I'm curious about is that there are some people who claim that we're moving into the fourth density in this ascension process, while others say that we're passing through the fourth briefly and capable of moving on to the fifth. And what is the difference between these densities? And you know, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's all of it.
Okay.
The one thing I learned from the Nibiruans, it's never all just one way. That's why they call it multi-dimensional. You've got four timelines overlapping, four dimensions overlapping on Earth.
Uh-huh.
Four-dimensional grids. A grid is an infrastructure for a dimension. And a dimension is a group of thoughts, you know?
Okay.
Or beliefs. And the more integrated the beliefs, the higher that dimension. And so we created a new grid in 1987 with harmonic convergence.
Okay.
And because it takes 144,000 people having the same thought at the same time to create a new dimension of thought. Okay?
Okay.
So you had at least 144,000 people around the world at that moment had that idea of peace. And, you know, spirituality. And then look what blossomed. Back in 1987, you would never find an angel in a gas station. Very few people use candles except the Catholics, you know.
That's right. That's right.
And now, I mean, everybody's got candles. Everybody's got incense.
Yeah.
You can buy incense in a Quick Trip now.
Yeah.
And you can buy an angel. And you can buy an alien.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
All in the Quick Trip. So that's how much our consciousness has changed in 20 years.
Yeah.
And because every time a grid is formed, the thought forms and the beliefs that constitute that level began to manifest and impress themselves upon the consciousness of the people. Okay. So then in 1996, we developed a fifth dimensional grid, and that began with an individual who I believe is a pre-indigo, Bill Gates.
Oh.
He developed a system, an operated system, that could be used worldwide.
Huh, interesting.
Okay, and through him came Windows 95.
That's right.
And with the advent of Windows 95, the whole world became connected.
Yes, that's right.
That began the age of information.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, people say the fifth dimension is the age of light. Yes, it is, but light has another interpretation. Light is also information.
Yes.
So it was an age of information that constitutes the fifth dimensional reality.
Wow.
And at that time, all knowledge that had been hidden would be revealed. Well, look how many whistleblowers there are anonymously sharing information on the Internet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, all things that have been hidden
are
or suppressed
starting to come
are being
out.
Revealed now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, so then the other thought forms, if you will, the fifth dimensional grid, is that of the galaxy, of galactic neighbors,
mm-hmm.
of other races.
Mm-hmm.
And so you started to see this playing out in our movies, The Matrix,
mm-hmm.
You know, all the E.T. shows. I mean, there, we just had a proliferation of them. And then timelines.
Yeah.
You know, remember Quantum Leap or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Where he would leap back in time or
yeah.
leap forward, you know, like a little grasshopper.
Yeah.
And, okay,
absolutely.
So all that started to happen. So that's playing out those thought forms in that grid.
Yeah.
And then in 2001, we completed another grid, which was like winning the lottery. It's like, you know, something they hoped for, but they had not planned on it for happening for quite a while.
Wow.
And we created a ninth dimensional grid.
You're kidding.
And that was at 9/11.
Oh.
Because the key word, each grid has a key word or characteristic about it.
Huh.
4D was spirituality and reincarnation.
Okay.
5D was galactic.
Okay.
And so you had all the ET stuff.
Right.
Okay, and information. Okay. And then the 9D was compassion.
Wow.
Remember when people started talking about compassion right after 9/11?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that was the key word of that level of consciousness. And the way we created that was there was enough people around the world who had a different reaction to watching those Twin Towers go down
mm-hmm.
than was expected by the other side.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted it to be another Pearl Harbor, where
mm-hmm.
we would all band together and go, yeah, let's go after the bad guys. But enough people did several things. Number one, compassion is about taking responsibility.
Right.
About being able to be both sides, see both sides, and it's about being able to feel empathy for both sides.
Right.
Enough people step back and go, wait a minute, even though Bush immediately knew who the bad guy was and always was already pointing the finger at him, a lot of people go, well, wait a minute, how do we know that's him?
Yep.
How do we know he's that was awfully convenient.
Yes.
And then they go tap in some keywords on the internet and find out that the Bin Laden family were buddies with the Bush clan.
Right, right.
We're going, okay, you know, we smell something funny here.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So enough people, so that's one thing. They were responsible, they used discernment, and they did their homework.
Yep.
Number two, they go, well, I feel as much sadness for the people on the other side who have been hurt as I do the people who died in the Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people who go, and this is a big one, what did we do? Say it is the, you know, the Arabs. What did we do to cause them to be so angry with us
right.
that they would do this?
Yeah, right.
Those
How
are,
we
are the
keys
of compassion.
Wow.
And enough people did that to create a whole new way of dealing with a catastrophe like that, and that changed our whole reality after that.
Wow. Well,
that was called winning the lottery.
Wow. And it symbolizes the end of duality, the Twin Towers collapsing.
Yeah. And then, you know, 8 years later, we elect our first biracial president.
Yes. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to highlight here that I wanted to bring up is that on your site you have probable events for 2009 to 2012. Now, there's a big push for disclosure, you know, from the governments and so on, how they're involved with various ET groups. And one of the things that you highlight is that there's a possible fake first contact with a U.S.-involved ET group.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still something that's on the horizon, or how would we know how to distinguish the difference between negative and positive polarity contact when what's real and not?
If you have an ET group reveals themselves and the military doesn't try to shoot them out of the sky,
right?
They're not here for us.
Yeah.
They're acting in accordance with the military.
Okay. Now, are there other events that you might draw our attention to with it during the next, well, from 2009 to 2012?
I mean, probable events?
Yes.
Okay. Well, okay, but let me explain probable, okay? Because that doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Right, right.
It just means it has a high probability because there's still so much of energy around it.
Right.
Probable events is, I mean, the Nibiruans don't give predictions. They don't say this is going to happen or that is going
to
happen.
Because there's no way to know.
There's no way to know. What they do is they project, as they call it, project out along the timelines, and they said this has the most energy and this has the least energy.
Right.
Something that has a tremendous amount of energy around it. And based on past experience, this is the way it looks like it would go. And it looks like it's, you know, it's a 90% or greater probability of it going that way. That's what they call a probability.
Okay.
If it's less than that, it's a possibility.
Right.
So these are the events, and these events are probabilities simply because they're events that have occurred before on the other time, on the timelines of the past worlds that they're connected to.
And so there's a likelihood of recurrence because everything recurs.
Right. Right. And so they said these are still there. I mean, when I did the article in Sedona Journal for their December, you know, predictions for 2009, I put in there exactly what the Nibiruans wanted me to do, that these were still a 90% or greater chance of happening. They had a call. They had a lady from Phoenix or someplace around there emailed them furious with me.
Really?
About one of these events. And so then Sedona Journal, one of their writers, you sent me an email and said, you got to write her back and tell her that this isn't going to happen. She's
That's
mad
funny.
At us for printing it. And I'm like, what?
That's funny. I love it.
I probably blew it with Sedona Journal.
Well, you know you can't win them all.
You can't win them all. But you know what? I'm not saying it's going to happen, and I'm saying that these can all be altered. If we know about them and we know what to do about them, we can all do our part to alter them until to the point where they have virtually no impact at all.
Mm-hmm. And that's a way of kind of diffusing things by raising our awareness about what's possible.
Right, because they didn't want me to write in the article, oh, these were the probabilities, but we've minimized them. Because eventually, you know, people go, okay, cool, I don't have to do anything.
Right, right, exactly.
So they would rather risk getting someone ticked off.
Right.
Than they would about, you know, letting them just sit on their duff.
Yeah, because if they tell us, oh, you've ascended and everything worked out fine, then we don't go through the motions that we need to go through to make
right.
it happen.
Right. So the events that they were talking about, the four timeline events, and these were from the last days of the planets that were destroyed, which I talk about in depth in both books, more so in the second than the first. But what is the inundation of the Southern California coast?
Okay.
And it would hit around Huntington Beach.
Oh, I've lived there.
And the other one is an attack on the missile silos around Phoenix, because the large majority of the missile silos in the United States are within 150 miles of Phoenix.
Huh.
And then another one is the... the activation of the New Madrid Fault.
Ah, yes.
Which would basically turn the United States into two separate countries separated by an inland lake 200 miles wide.
Wow.
And,
yeah, that was one of the maps that was drawn out by several, futurists.
Really?
Yeah, the United States is broken into two continents.
Yeah, that would be connected to Sirius B.
Okay.
And then the attack on Phoenix and then the tsunami, the man-made tsunami, would both be instigated by China.
Mm-hmm.
And the war with China, which is ongoing right now, but it's being done through a control room.
Yes. Yeah.
Through the HARP technology, which they all have, and they're all playing weather wars with each other.
Yes.
And they're attacking us, and we're attacking them.
Exactly.
But that's being hidden from the public.
Yes, yes, I felt this for a long time. Now, what about the chemtrails? What's the purpose of those?
Well, the chemtrails has two purposes. Number one, so we got a lot of radiation coming in from space, and our sun is constantly burping big solar flares
right.
at us.
Yeah.
And our atmosphere is thinning. So we're trying to create cloud cover. But at the same time, there are those who are using that to start the whole depopulation of the planet.
Exactly.
So it's serving two purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all under the radar because it never hits the mainstream media, and yet it's going on all over the globe.
Yeah, they put, you know, aluminum and stuff like that in there, and that's really toxic to humans.
Well, yes, there's so much toxic stuff going into our bodies now. It's a miracle that we're still alive.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this we're almost out of time.
Oh, wow.
Before we go, we have a couple of minutes. I want you to make sure that you mention your website, and also if you have any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with the listeners tonight.
Okay, well, my website is www.nibiruincouncil.com, and that's spelled N as in Nancy, I, B as in boy, I, R, U, A, N as in Nancy, and then the word council, council.com.
Okay.
And my closing thoughts would, you know, I love it when people ask me that. Okay, now can I come up with something really brilliant, you know? closing thoughts is there's a lot of reason to hope. If you understand the bigger picture, you'll realize that in the greater scheme of a universal game, this is the norm. What we're going through is a transition from the old systems to the new, and you cannot build new systems on top of old. They have to be brought down.
Mm-hmm.
And if people will tune inward and begin to tap into their own internal guidance and their own intuition, they will get the information they need to ride the waves of change. If they keep looking outside of themselves for someone to save them, they're going to have a rough ride.
That's right.
Part of the reason that this is going on is to force us to go back and find our own divinity.
Yeah.
Because we cannot fulfill our divine destiny if we continue to look outside of ourselves for the answers.
Yep. Yep.
So it's serving its purpose in moving us back to our natural way of being, which is to always depend on our own inner God or goddess, our own connection to divine source, because that doesn't let us down, and that will lead us to the point where we can create our own safety. It doesn't matter where we live.
Mm-hmm.
We will be able to create our own safety, provide for ourselves. And at the same time, it leads us back to our connection to all things. It leads us back to that oneness, but without sacrificing our individuality in the process. It leads us to becoming a race that can achieve compassion and live in harmony with diversity.
And hopefully meet our higher dimensional brothers and sisters.
Meet our galactic neighbors.
Our galactic, exactly.
We will be their role models.
Well, I can't wait. Well, Delilah, I want to thank you so much for being on the show, and I hope you come back and share some more with us soon.
I would be happy to.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. I know there's a lot of material that we could cover, so I appreciate you coming on so much.
Well, you are so welcome. Thank you for
all right,
me.
And I guess good night, everybody, and have a wonderful and happy Valentine's Day.